Welcome on in to another episode of Stacking Dubs. This is your host, Chris Chin. And well, the stack fell over, guys. Yikes. Warriors get absolutely run off the court, run out of the East Coast. One heck of a way to end the road trip, get shellacked by the Boston Celtics in TD Garden, lose by 52 points. I'm going to go back and look up the score because I gave up on this one long before the end, but it ended up being 140-88. Quite the embarrassing performance by the Warriors. They were in this one early for the first 6 minutes, despite a hot start by the Celtics, which ended up never cooling off. The Warriors were in this one 21-21 about midway through the first quarter, and then the wheels fell off. The Celtics go on a 61-17 run to close the half. Warriors only score 17 points the last 18 minutes of the half. The halftime score, 82-38. Warriors trail by 44. And at that point, I basically abandoned ship and started throwing on replays of game four of the 2022 NBA Finals, the Steph Curry 43-point game, and it made me feel a lot better. So I hope you guys all did the same. The 44-point lead was the largest halftime lead in Boston Celtics history. And if you didn't know, the Celtics are one of the oldest franchises. They are not a new team, so a franchise historic record like this definitely holds some water. So it was such a pleasure and an honor to be part of that. Warriors, fewest points scored in a half by the Warriors this season. The most points surrendered in any half by the Warriors this season. It was quite interesting to see those both combined. Basically, the Warriors just didn't really even show up, and, well, you saw exactly what happened. Got a few texts, podcast listeners from my friends saying, "Hey, Chris, we can't wait to hear tomorrow's podcast." To which I say, we're going to crumple this one up, and we're going to throw it away. Oh, there goes the cat. Cat went and chased the paper ball that is crumpled up. Good boy. All right, leave me alone for a little while. Yeah, we're going to throw this one away, guys. This one, for many reasons, mainly just a credit to Boston. But if I may make a couple of excuses and really just trying to soothe my soul on this one and give reasons for optimism, Steph Curry coming into this one was questionable, more or less a game time decision, had a little knee bursitis in his right knee. If you don't know what that is, I would love to enlighten you. It is essentially due to like abrasions or bumps or just kind of pressure, almost like a bruise, but it turns into a fluid filled sac. And it ends up kind of being in between your joints and just that extra, it's inflammation is really what it is. That extra fluid in your knee just makes it a little more swollen, a little stiff, usually just takes a little bit of rest and it goes down. Curry obviously wasn't affected too much. Well, he was able to play. We'll talk about his performance. Maybe he was affected. But on that note, Curry, worst half shooting of his career. 0-for-9 from three. Got nothing going the entire time. Two ugly air balls, which, man, this has been a big air ball week for Curry this past week. But I don't think we're going to see a lot of 0-for-9 shooting halves from Curry ever again, if at all. And we're just going to chalk that one up. We're going to throw that away. Missing Wiggins, missing Pajemski. Missing Wiggs really hurt just because he's usually the primary defender on Jason Tatum. Obviously, we have no idea if he's even going to be back or not. But typically, Wiggins has been a huge piece in these games. We'll get to that a little bit later. Missing Pajemski also does hurt, especially compounded with missing Wiggins. Now you have Klay back in the starting lineup, which we've talked about him being better off the bench. Really just kind of kept us thin, messed up our rotations. It's not an excuse. It honestly didn't matter at all. Again, these are just little things for why the Warriors were in a little bit of a funk, but we're going to just gloss over that. All in all, Warriors are just on a three-game winning streak on the road trip. They had a long trip. Flight issues in Toronto are coming out of New York, going into Toronto. They just never really got into this one, and once they got down just a little bit, they more or less gave up on this one, said, hey, we're just going to pack up this 3-1 road trip, save a little bit, and get back home in time for the Bucks. So We're throwing this away. Nothing went right. We could point at many different specific reasons, all of which are reasons for concern, but also we're, in a nutshell, just one night of everything bad on both ends of the floor. I actually point more to just credit to the Celtics. They've won 11 straight. They have an 8.5 game lead in the East. This is the crazy one. Over the course of the season, their average net points per game is a plus 10.7. That means on average, every game, they are winning by 10.7 points. Even in their losses, it averages back and forth. So they're really in their wins, winning by even more than 11 points per game. But they go to 48-12, I believe, is their record. And they are playing as well, honestly, as any team in the regular season. Man, in the last, handful of years, it's been hard for me to recount a team at the top on this long of a winning streak, just absolute domination. I think it's their third win of this streak, winning by over 40 points. They hit 10 threes in the first quarter in this one. They hit 15 threes in the first half, and they had zero turnovers in the first half. That's how you win a half by 44 points. Well, what did we learn in this one? Well, we learned that Boston was the better team last night and the Warriors just didn't show up. We learned we're not quite in that elite class yet. I know we beat Boston at home earlier in the season. We're not quite there yet. We're taking care of business against these middle and lower tier teams. And we've been more or less competitive against the better teams in this league, like the Nuggets, the Clippers, etc. But we can't get over that hump. There's just lulls where it seems like we just can't get a stop, nor can we even force difficult shots for stretches of time on defense. These teams are just getting whatever they want in the pick and roll. We're not getting back on defense. We're getting killed in transition. That just continues to be an Achilles heel. And then when Steph Curry doesn't have it going on offense, we are just really having a tough time getting into anything of a good shot. We're not getting rim pressure to collapse the defense and get to shooters. There's not really an isolation score outside of Jonathan Kuminga, who tried in this one against Drew Holiday, against Tatum, against Jaylen Brown. He stayed aggressive, which I give him credit for, but it became a little one-two-dimensional where he's just trying to bulldoze and footwork his way into the hoop. Needs to find something in between, like a mid-range jumper, a pull-up, fadeaway. He has that in his repertoire, but he doesn't quite use it enough, and it's not quite consistent to force defenses to really close out and let him have a better angle to the hoop. So those are things that he's going to have to work on, but I think we learned that until the Kuminga jump shot comes along, we're going to have a hard time finding secondary offense, especially against the elite defenses like Boston. We learned that I think we're about a wing defender short, especially without Wiggins. Draymond's at his best when he's able to play center field and basically be a second safety net of a defender, working behind Kuminga, working behind Wiggins, working behind Gary Payton the second. Whoever is on ball as the point of attack defender, Draymond's great when he plays on a center or a big who he can help off of and provide that rim protection as a second line of defense. Without Wiggins, Draymond now has to go over and guard Jaylen Brown and come out from the hoop, guard him on the perimeter. It worked really well in the finals. Once Draymond switched on to Jaylen Brown and took away that left hand in the finals, it effectively took Brown out of that series. And we've seen it work in the past as well. Well, in this one, it didn't really work at all. And especially, let's just talk about the biggest game plan mistake the Warriors made tonight. They tried to get cute. They tried to let Jaylen Brown and just dare him to shoot from three. And Draymond said that they just kind of hatched this plan maybe 15 minutes before the game. I assume it was him and Steve Kerr just saying, hey, you know, why don't we try this? I think we're okay with Boston's not getting the ball moving around, and we're just letting Jaylen Brown play isolation ball one-on-one, which I don't disagree with that strategy. But what happened is Jaylen Brown's a good enough three-point shooter. I think he's like a 34-35% three-point shooter. But again, those are contested. That's not just, hey, daring you to shoot, where I'm sure he shoots closer to 40, 50% even. Well, in this one, he ended up hitting 5 threes in the first quarter, including a couple step backs once he got in a groove, found his rhythm early, 19 points in the first quarter, and the game was effectively over at that point. So game plan backfired. I don't fault the thought process behind it, but the execution and the end result, let's just say we're not going to be doing that one again. So anyways, we're going to look past that. That's another little outlier in this game. We tried something new strategically, didn't work. Back to the drawing board. Again, let's just toss this one away. I'd crumple up another piece of paper, but the cat is now settled back in again. We're not doing that again. We also learned on the defensive end, teams are going to attack Steph Curry. They did the same thing against Quinones when he was in the game. These undersized guards that the Warriors have, and there's so many of them. Teams are going to attack Steph Curry relentlessly in a playoff series. We saw the Lakers do it to them last year. Teams are just going to do it, not because Steph's a bad defender. He's not. He can hold his own, not as much as in the past, but he can hold his own. But it's just going to take so much out of him getting attacked 20, 30, 40 times in a game. It's just gonna take his legs throughout the course of a series and just really take away his efficiency and usage on the offensive end. Really, there's not a great way to hide him on defense. It is what it is. Really, the counter here is we need a better second scoring option on offense. Kuminga, again, couldn't do it tonight. That's what Chris Paul's there for, so kind of release a little bit of that usage and the ball handling duties for Curry. But it's going to be a problem as Steph ages and he's just not as in good condition as he once was. He still might be the best conditioned player in the NBA at 36 years old, but he's going to have to take a little bit less on the offensive end because teams are attacking him on defense. And that's what it's going to be in playoff series. And we saw that. Boston really just spammed Steph Curry on defense the entire time. Whoever his man was, bring him right into the action, test out that knee bursitis and just kind of see where he's at. And ultimately, that's not what made the difference in this game, but you see that that's what teams' intentions are. So that's something that's been exposed throughout the last couple games against the best teams. I'm not going to get too much more into this one, guys. It is what it is. We just got our butts whooped. We've shown we can beat Boston. We split the season series 1-1 with them. Each team holds serve at home. If this was a playoff series, it'd be 1-1, and we're going back to wherever the series started here. It's even. A win is a win. A loss is a loss. Let's throw this out. Our players, including Clay, who left a little early with hamstring tightness, I think he only played like 18 minutes in this one. Curry only played like 17 minutes. Everyone gets a little bit of rest. We've got 2 days off before returning home against the Bucks, who come to town in another big game. At least we're at home. We'll be rested. Pajemski is supposed to be back this Wednesday, according to Kerr. All in all, we will take a 3-1 road trip. We talked about it heading in. 2-2 would have been okay. We will love a 3-1 road trip. We said we'd love to start 3-0 and then take this one from Boston. But we won't get greedy. We'll save it. We'll let Boston just keep on cruising, just get complacent while we're still fighting to stack some dubs, get our way into the playoff in a good position, and make a deep run. Because we will have come through adversity. We will have learned from our losses and learned where our weaknesses are. And we're going to be hungry, thirsty, and just passionate of a team coming out back home with that home crowd. So let's go home, get a little rest. Let's regroup. Let's sleep in our own bed. We've got the Bucks Wednesday and then a back-to-back against the Bulls on Thursday. Then we have the Spurs at home on Saturday. Then we start a 3-game road trip where we will just go back to San Antonio, right back against the Spurs the following Monday. Then we get the Mavericks, the Lakers, both on the road. So let's see, looking at those six games, I would like to go 2-1 at home, if not 3-0. And then on the road, let's go 2-1. So if we can get a 4-2 trip here in the next six, 5-1 would be a lot better. But realistically, 4-2, we're happy. And we're playing against two teams that are right ahead of us in the Mavericks and the Lakers. We have to take care of business against those two teams specifically. All right, guys. I know it wasn't fun, but we hung in there. And on to bigger, better things. Definitely not a low point in the season because we've had much worse losses. This one was easy to just turn the page, move on, let's get better. All right, team. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in to the good times and the low. This has been Chris Chin peace, love, and stacking dubs.